Mexican-born poet and fiction writer Seanath Carraza is a multi-international Latino Book Award winner. Her works have been published in many languages, so she's well aware of the skill and artistry involved in translation. She'll talk about that aspect of her writing and share some of her poetry from her more recent books, ranging from her 2015 collection, Hacelo Cihuatl, Jaguar Woman, to her 2020 award winner, Balamku, a book that takes us into the Mayan temples and ruins of her home country. That's ahead on New Letters on the Air, a production of New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam, and in 2019, we crossed the Missouri state line into Kansas to conduct this interview in front of what turned out to be a special audience for Seanath Carraza, who's a full-time lecturer of Spanish in UMKC's Department of Foreign Languages and Literatures. This interview, co-sponsored by the Johnson County Public Library, was our first at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center. It is not, however, the first time that I've talked to Seanath Carraza for New Letters on the Air. 5 years ago, we got together to talk about your poetry and your fiction that you had written at that time, your work and your influences. And that interview, if you want to know some of the early background of Seanath's writing, you can go to our website, newletters.org, and you can actually hear that interview where she discussed her childhood in Veracruz, Mexico, the Afro-Mexican history there, and her mother's indigenous Aztec language, Nahuatl. I'm close.
Nahuatl, perfect.
Nahuatl. She's kind. As one of 62 indigenous languages of Mexico. Anyway, on that show, we heard her read from her bilingual collection, Syllables of Wind. And at that time, it had not won the 2015 mm-hmm. International Book Award, but that happened soon after the interview. And then we also heard from her earlier books, Conjuro and What the Tide Brings, books of poetry and short fiction. And they placed in 2013 mm-hmm. and 14 in the International Latino Book Awards. Well, now she has a slew of other books, and in 2018 won not one, but two International Latino Book Awards. One was for, you might need to help me with this, Lagrima Rojo? Mm-hmm.
Lagrima Roja.
Which was Best Book of Poetry in Spanish, and then Sin Preambulas, mm-hmm. Without Preamble, which is Best Bilingual Poetry Book. So, I mean, that's so amazing.
I'm honored. It really was a surprise and just still processing, I guess.
Yeah, it's really terrific. You know, reading through your books, I was really struck by how much certain words in language come up for you mm-hmm. and are repeated, and themes and things like that. And violet and purples are important colors.
Yes, I think so.
Let's start right now with the book that actually won the Best Book of Bilingual Poetry, the International Latino Book Award, and the English is Without Preamble. This little tiny, tiny book, almost like a chapbook, would win this award is wonderful. But this is Seanath on the cover. Did your husband take this photograph?
No, it's a selfie that I...
Oh, it's a selfie. Anyway, if you know her, you recognize her right off the bat. It's really fun. So there was a poem in there that struck me mm-hmm. about, you know, the repeat of color.
Must be the first one?
Oh, yeah. It's the title poem.
The title poem.
Yeah, Without Preamble.
Sure. And let me tell you that it's responding to this flower in the back.
Those are irises, aren't they?
Yeah. Sin preámbulos, without preamble. Violeta es la mañana sin preámbulos. Se filtra la luz en las grietas. Se escurre el delirio en los pétalos. Saetas de color rompen la superficie que tocan. Tiñe aurora los recuerdos, polícroma melodía. Violeta fue la luz, se desvanece con la brisa, ráfaga de fuego. Tiempo violeta delinea la partida. Tic tac, tic tac, tic tac, tic tac. without preamble. Violet is the morning without preamble. Light filtering through crevices, delirium sliding down petals, colored arrows broaching the surface they touch, polychrome melody tinting memories down. Violet was the light, it dissipates with the breeze, burst of flame. Violet time delineates the departure. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
The title poem, Without Preamble, from the book that won Shanath Karaza the Best Book of Bilingual Poetry, and that was translated by Sandra Kingery. We talked in that earlier interview that you prefer to write your creative work in Spanish, yes, still, which is your primary language. But you write some things in English first, right?
Yes, I can write in English, definitely. What happens is that, honestly, I decided that just for my creative process, to write in Spanish, let all my imagination, creativity flow. Once I feel it's ready, then I work in the translation part. Or nowadays with Sandra, which I am so thankful, because translating is rewriting the whole book. So it takes me double time. So she's doing that other part of the job.
Yeah. Most of your books were translated by Sandra Kingery.
Exactly.
Where is Sandra?
Sandra lives in Philadelphia, Lincoln College. She's a professor right there. But we've been working together for a very long time. And I don't know if I told you the story of how I met her. It was here in Kansas City for the ALTA conference, the Association for Professional Translators here in the US. So I was a keynote speaker, and I read, I think, three poems. And one of them, I, without really thinking of the audience, I said, this is my untranslatable poem to an audience full of translators. And it was true at the moment, right? I felt it like that. At the end, three of them approached me, and among those was Sandra. We met, and she translated the first three poems, that one. So we started working together. She reads my mind nowadays.
That's so great.
Literary translation is an art by itself. That's why I'm really thankful to have a translator. I think English language has enough words to say and describe what we need to say, but the actual translation process is really hard to do. To work in literary translation, you have to become a professional literary translator, not a technical translator, not a medical translator, not an interpreter, a literary translator, which is a specialty by itself. In my case, when I write, I decided to write in Spanish just to let it flow and then work on the translations. And sometimes the words come in different languages. When I'm writing, I let them flow because it's important to me to let the creative process flow. But yeah, it's very hard.
You know, it's interesting too that different cultures, depending on how important certain things are to the culture, there may be, yes, more words in a particular culture. I remember somebody talking about one of the Eskimo languages. Oh, there's, yeah, something like 40 words for snow because there are different kinds of snow for them, because that's, yeah, just such a big part of their lives.
Or the color green, right? In,
right,
some of, like, southern part of Mexico, we describe the textures, the aromas, and yes, so.
Yeah.
Depends on the context, yes.
We should say, too, that the book Without Preamble was published locally. This,
yes,
had to be a huge deal for Spartan Press, which is right here in Kansas City, that it won the International Latino Book Award. I mean, that had to be a big deal for Spartan Press.
I hope they enjoy that as much as I am. And it's my first book published in Kansas City, too.
Yeah.
So I was very
wonderful.
Happy. Yeah.
Have you had any moments, I mean, because you've been living in Kansas City, mm-hmm, you've been teaching at UMKC since 2000, mm-hmm, but you've been in the country a lot longer than that, in,
yes,
the United States. Has there ever been anything that's happened to you that's made you want to write something first in English as far as poetry goes?
Actually, yeah. In terms of creative writing, yes, I have a few poems that have been written directly into English. Actually, one of them is called Kansas City, which is in my Ocelo Siwatl book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about Kansas City and how diverse Kansas City is. And I love that from Kansas City. Yeah.
Wow. Should we read that one?
Sure. It's one of those few poems that I have directly written in English. So I gave myself permission to play around with English.
Did you have to translate yourself?
Then in Spanish, yes. Yes, I did.
You didn't make Sandra do
no,
it the other
not
direction.
As much as it did in English, yes. So this is the original version, Kansas City. Art Deco forests of concrete with echoes of Charlie Parker and jazz. Confluence of plumed serpents of water. Grilled Midwest Caravaggio with a twice-baked peeping Tom Benton on the side. Poems for La Luna Roja in Osage, French, English, Ebonics, y Español. Prayers to an ancient Mayan jade goddess for Japan's nuclear crisis and the Libyan war. La migra perhaps me confunda with no time for collecting poems or pens. Sounds from the past and present, Nahuatl, Wolof, English y Español, produces spiral linguistic symbols, tornadoes in the soul. Turquoise branches, good fortune dragons, yembe drums, the green of Quetzal, amber baklava, and Sor Juana's poems renew life to the murals of the city walls.
Kansas City, from Seanath Karaza's Ocelosiwatl, Jaguar Woman, a bilingual collection that ranges through the New World's northern and southern hemispheres, published in 2015 by Mouthfeel Press. You're listening to New Letters on the Air. I could see why you know, when you're mentioning all the jazz and Charlie Parker and all the things around Kansas City, it would make you want to do it in English somehow.
Yes,
so.
I think the roots are in English culture. So
yeah. Say the title of the book for me.
Sure. Ocelo Siwatl.
So you teach, we've got some of your students,
I
think, in the audience. If you're one of her students, clap for me. Oh, that's good. Thank you for coming. This is wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
So, is she a good teacher? I figured she must be, or else she would have never shown up. So. And tell us about what you teach.
I have a class, which is a 300-level class, where we do creative writing, and they write short stories, and now they have to write a poem. So, and we work with a different level of the language, more metaphorical. They don't know, but that's what we're doing. So they are moving just from, not just from the straightforward language, but into a more metaphorical use of the language, yeah.
Right. Oh, that must be fun for you to teach that. I'm guessing that it feeds your own language
does,
and what you do in your own poetry.
And I love to see how they evolve. And at the end, they do so many beautiful things, yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we leave without preamble, your book that did win the International Latino Book Award, I want to hear Feet Tattooed with Stars. I love the imagery in this.
You want it both in Spanish and English?
What do you think? You want both Spanish and English?
Okay.
Yes.
Los pies tatuados de estrellas. Sobre el mar la bóveda de obsidiana sangra centellas de plata. Tan brillantes que ciegan al ocelote de la oscuridad. En un instante me han robado las estrellas, las olas lamen la húmeda arena, los pies tatuados de estrellas, las palabras enterradas en el mar. No hay fogatas en el alma, el viento las ha extinguido. Esta noche de obsidiana pienso en la poesía, el jade se rompe en otro lugar. Feet tattooed with the stars. Above the sea, the obsidian dome bleeds sparks of silver, so brilliant they blind the ocelotl of darkness. In an instant, they stole the stars from me. Waves leak damp sand. Feet tattooed with the stars, words buried in the sea. There are no campfires in the soul. The wind extinguishes them. I think of poetry, this obsidian night, jade shatters in another place.
Feet Tattooed with Stars, from Without Preamble by Shaunath Karaza. We're here at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, and we have a wonderful audience out there. To listen to Shaunath. So, you know, I got the sense that this book was really, in a way, a series of poems about poetry. Mm-hmm. And it's your homage to poetry. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. How poetry is important to me. How do I create poetry? How do I invoke poetry every day? Yeah, definitely.
You know, you also mention in here jade. I think of poetry, this obsidian night, jade shatters in another place. And I was thinking of your newest book, Balanku, and on the back of it, there is a photograph done by your husband, Stephen Holland, right? And this is a jade sculpture that came from one of the Mayan temples. Can I call it a temple? Mm-hmm. That was Balamku.
Yes.
And this image is just very striking. I would love to see this in real life. But I wondered if jade represented your homeland in some way, because you can trace your roots all the way back to the Mayan civilization. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not on paper, but you know that that's part of the world that you came from. Can you talk about this book some and tell us what brought this forth?
Well, jade is a very important element in indigenous culture. I always explain to people that it's more valuable than gold for indigenous pre-Hispanic cultures. Pre-Hispanic meaning before 1492. So you can see, I mean, being jade such an important element, precious stone, having found this mask almost complete, I think it's about 3,000 years old. So if you look at it and it's complete, it's amazing. 3,000-year-old mask. And I saw it first time in a museum in the state of Yucatan. No protection. I was right there in front of the mask. I fell in love with the mask. So I realized it belongs to an archaeological site in the state of Campeche, which is part of the peninsula, the Yucatan Peninsula. And finally, after 2 years of researching how to get there, if it was safe or not to be there, it is in the middle of the jungle, I got there. 2 years later, so we're talking about 4 years of writing this book, I saw the mask again in Campeche City, now with a lovely protection, and this is where this photo came from, yeah.
That's so cool. Why don't we have you read Prior Words?
Okay.
Because this sets up this collection.
So Prior Words, Palabras Previas. My roots are indigenous on my mother's side, recognizing them and realizing that I am part of the great Mayan family awakens a burning fire within me. It has made me rediscover our jade jungles, my coast, luminous quicksilver seas throughout eastern Mexico. Many archaeological sites have called me. I have responded. The Mayan ancestors in Campeche have guided me to ceremonial centers in the middle of tropical jungles surrounded by horseflies, now yucca serpents, butterflies, the smell of jaguar, and footsteps on fallen leaves. In response, I honor them with my poetry. I join them in song, in my voice, in tune in every one of the ritual sites that constitute this collection. Etzna, Calakmul, Hochop, Sibil Nocac, Tabasqueño, Tohoc, Santa Rosa Xtampac, Balanku, Chicaná, Becán, Xpujil. In Balanku, I made an offering of poetry within the pyramid where the ceremonial frieze is found. I was the only visitor, as was the case in most of these sites that have been swallowed up and therefore protected by the jungle. And I would like to think that I may perhaps have been the only person to read poetry in Balanku in hundreds of years. The beauty and spiritual strength of these Mayan sites overwhelms me the moment I recall them. I hope, dear reader, that the fallen leaves, the Mayan rocks, the wind, and the liquid serpent of jade accompany your steps on every one of these pages.
That's amazing to think you happen to be there by yourself and you're able to recite your poetry.
It was magical. It was powerful. I like to read poetry in historical places, but these are 13 archaeological places in the middle of the jungle. And I wrote poetry there, my notes, and I read poetry there because I had the need to offer my words. And Balanku, as mentioned, is a frieze. A frieze is a piece of art, right? Which is like a fresco, long inside a pyramid. That is amazing. When I found out that Balanku means jaguar god, the temple of the jaguar, it was a pilgrimage place, like La Mecca, or going to Israel once in your life. So people in the ancient Mayan world, I'm talking about 3,000 years before Christ, used to go at least one time in their life to Balanku. So you can imagine the energy that is in that place. I couldn't resist. I had to read poetry.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then when did the concept of putting this book together come? Did more poems just keep coming? And then you thought to yourself, oh my gosh, this is a book.
It started with this mask, which is Calakmul, another site. And then I discovered Balanku, and because there was a hurricane, the first time I went, I couldn't go directly to Calakmul, so I went to another one, Etzna. And then I realized there were so many different archaeological sites in Campeche. I have traveled deeply in the state of Yucatan, visiting many, many Mayan archaeological sites. That's one of my little secret passions, to go and to visit these as much as I can, to visit all these archaeological sites. So, but I discovered all these new sites, Campeche, and I was able to visit 13 of maybe thousands that are hidden in the jungle. And I just started writing, and suddenly I realized I had enough material to put together a book. Yeah, and lots of photos and also notes that I wrote right there. I think it's the longest book I have taken me to write, like 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sandra, when she was doing the translations, because it's a big book.
It is.
I mean, there's a lot going on in this book.
2,200-something pages.
Yeah. Well, can you share a poem? Mm-hmm.
Let's do Celestial Breeze. So I wrote this poem because many of these sites have stages. And these stages were for the priest, Mayan priest, to perform their ceremonies. These stages have the shape of the jaws of the jaguar, so you can see teeth. There are some pictures that you probably saw. And then teeth from the bottom and teeth on the top. So I was just thinking about a Mayan priest in the middle of the night, almost like Greek theater, that kind of catharsis that happens when you are in a ceremonial theater kind of place. So, Celestial Breeze. Brisa celeste. La selva es el escenario. La ceremonia comienza con el fuego nocturno. Las flores llenan la garganta. El diálogo divino se derrama. La brisa celeste llega, señal secreta para continuar. El espíritu del jaguar ruge a través del cuerpo prestado. La lluvia hace más profunda la húmeda oscuridad. El canto de aves nocturnas se incorpora a esta melodía. Las ranas croan en busca del agua. De las fauces de piedra emergen los sacerdotes. Vueltos jaguar, uno a uno, proyectan la voz al cielo estrellado. Llenan el pecho de sagrado aliento. El teponastle vibra. Las ocarinas emiten el grito de la selva. La oscuridad se desvanece cuando Venus intensifica su luz. Jaguar habla con el rayo, voz de trueno y huehuetl. Áureas horas, sutiles luces encapsulan las sílabas que emergen de la garganta. Los pulmones se hinchan con el denso jade líquido. Las cuerdas vocales vibran con el agua. celestial breeze. The jungle is the stage. The ceremony commences with nocturnal fire. Flowers fill the throat, divine dialect spills forth. The celestial breeze arrives, secret signal to continue. The spirit of the jaguar roars through borrowed body. Rain makes the damp darkness more profound. The song of nocturnal birds merges with this melody. Frogs croak in search of water. Priests emerge from the jaws of a stone. Become jaguar, one by one, they project their voices to the starry skies. Fill their chests with sacred breath. The teponastle vibrates, ocarinas spread. The screen of the jungle, darkest fades, with Venus intensifies her lights. Jaguar speaks with the lightning, voice of thunder and wewetl. Golden hours, subtle lights encapsulate the syllables that emerge from the throat. Lungs expand with dense liquid jade. Vocal cords vibrate with water.
Celestial Breeze by Shanath Karaza from her bilingual book, Balamku, translated by Sandra Kingery and published by Pandora Lobo Estepario Productions Press in Chicago. This book just won second place in the inaugural Juan Felipe Herrera Best Poetry Book from the 2020 International Latino Book Awards. We also heard from one of her 2018 winners, Without Preamble, published by Kansas City Spartan Press. She reads from other prize winners, including some short fiction, in the second half of this 2019 interview in front of an audience at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, co-sponsored by the Johnson County Public Library. To hear that, go to our website, newletters.org, and search for Shanath, X-A-N-A-T-H, Karaza. You can also hear even earlier work in our interview for Park University's 2014 Ethnic Voices Poetry Series at the Mid-Continent Public Library's Woodneath Center. Shanath is also famous for her Day of the Dead altars at the Writer's Place in Kansas City, though those are on hold now because of the coronavirus. But she's displaying a new one from home that will be featured in a new program at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center and as part of the Smithsonian Voices Latino Center, which also has recordings by her. Find links at newletters.org. If you're looking for a place to publish experimental work that crosses traditional boundaries of genre and form, the new editor of New Letters magazine, Christy Hodgen, invites you to enter your hybrid work for an Editor's Choice Award. The deadline is October 19th. More information about that is also on our website, newletters.org. A special note, our New Letters on the Air production, which has been aired weekly since 1977, is in danger of disappearing. We are building a team to help extend the program into the future. Join us by calling and leaving your name and number at 888-548-2477 or email radio at newletters.org. That toll-free number again is 888-LIT-AIRS, a production of UMKC's New Letters magazine. Today's show is produced with Natalie Stein, Amelia Romine, Opal Roberts, Baca, Anna Stokes, Evan Lohman, Olivia Gallo, and Jamie Walsh. I'm Angela Elam. Thanks for listening to New Letters on the Air.